Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. And joining me today to encourage you is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hey, hello. And Steve Kalishewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. He likes that good day, sir,
good
doesn't
day,
he?
Sir.
Good day, sir. I like that.
Well, at least you're not commenting about my hair.
Well, you know, well, I wasn't going to, but since you brought it up. No, we have an exciting program for you. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. We're going to be discussing today and sharing a little bit about applications versus commitments. You want to stay tuned for that. And also the secret to living a blessed life. There is a secret, Pat. Many people want to have a blessed life, want to be prosperous in their marriage, their business, their community. They, you know, they want the blessing and the favor and the hand of God. Mm-hmm. They want the hand of God to be upon them, and it can be upon them. But there's a secret to having a blessed life. You know, people want all different things for their life. You want to have a blessing on your life. Listen, if you have a blessing on your life, that's going to work well, but there's different ideas about how you can get a blessing. And we're going to share with you the secret to getting to having a blessed life. But before we do that, I was driving down the street, Steve. And Pat, I noticed this billboard as I was driving. And I saw this really big billboard, and I saw this Marine. This chiseled Marine. I mean, you could just...
On the billboard.
Mm-hmm. You know, his jawline was just, I mean, just fierce. Just, you could tell his broad shoulders. Mm-hmm. And he had the whole gear, you know, not the hat. What do you call it? The cap? The cover.
Yeah, right.
He had his cover. No hats in the military, I was informed.
We'll forgive you of that.
He had his cover on. He had his whole, you know...
Dress alphas.
Was it dress?
Dress blues. Dress blues. Thank you, Steve.
What to call it, a suit.
Suit, you know, dress blues, you know. He was sharp. I mean, he was sharp. Mm-hmm. And if you ever see, I used to watch those commercials all in high school. I'm like, man, look at the Marines. He's come out with the sword. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. do they give you the sword when you first sign in? What do you do? Mm-hmm. What do you have to do to get the sword? And the sword was cool, you know?
Not given.
Oh.
It's only earned.
It's only earned. Okay. But this is what the caption said. This is what the billboard said as I was driving by. It says, we don't take applications. We take commitments. Mm. And that hit me right between the eyes. You know, we don't take applications. We take commitments. And you're looking today where people are just offering all these different things for people to be a part of. Here, come here, sign in. Like us on Facebook. You know, get one of these, get one of those. And they're almost like begging people to be a part of them. But the Marines just wants to let you know plainly, you know, and hey, listen, I respect all military, all forms, you know, all branches. My uncle served 20 years in the Air Force, had friends in the Navy, and my dad was in the Army, so I love them all. But when you think about the Marines, oftentimes you think about this elite, you know, fighting machine, if you will, and you think about, you know, people that make a serious commitment, and right off the bat, you know, that Steve, you know, we have a Marine here with us. I didn't hear a hoorah, nothing come out of here, you know, but we have a Marine with us, and it's a serious deal. These guys don't play, if you will. And in fact, in 1918, the Germans gave them a nickname, and they called them Devil Dogs. And the reason they called them that is those men fought so ferocious. Looks like they were just coming at them with everything they had. Mm-hmm. And so they had a reputation all the way from back then. Mm-hmm. And so you look at that and you say, wow, you know, that's pretty interesting. And people want to be a part of not something that everybody just, you know, whatever, but something that means, you know, true significance and something to be maybe respected and want to be a part of something that has, you know, I don't want to say value, but significance, I guess, is a great word. But when I think about how the gospel is presented so many times, It's so it's presented in a way that there's no commitment. It's like as if Jesus is taking applications. You know, it's like, oh yeah, just fill out this little paper here, and it's like the captain of the host is saying, you know, just all you got to do is pray a little prayer, and you're in. Don't just say that all you have to do is believe, and you're okay. And you don't see the level of commitment. You don't see the level of passion. You don't see the level of allegiance. And oftentimes it's because of the way it's actually being presented. It's the way how the gospel is being shared. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the captain of the host is worthy of commitments, not just applications. Mm. Yes, the offer is extended to everyone, mm-hmm. and he doesn't discriminate it, but he wished that all would be saved. But you understand what save means. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand what this means. And many are just kind of wanting to check off a box, and they have maybe their own reasons for wanting to be, you know, a part. But you need to understand what that actually means. And when you sign up, if you will, when you receive the Lord in your life, you're not just accepting the Lord because of quote unquote benefits, but you're understanding that there is an allegiance to his lordship. There is a commitment to who he is, and that you're pledging your life to him. You understand that you have been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. You're grateful that he would even associate with me or you. You know, I'm grateful. I'm like, Lord, you know, you allow me to just see. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. And then what we do when we do that, when we give our lives to him, we train. Man. We develop. We grow. We allow our roots to go down deep so that fruit can come up. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, the word Christian has been like, I don't know, it's like so over, you know, you don't say overused, but it's like, what does that mean today in America? What does that mean? I like to say, you know, hey, he or she is a follower of Christ, or I'm a follower. Well, why do you say that? Because they actually follow him. They actually implement and practice the word of God and his instructions and what he has to say. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. So God's called us to make disciples, train ones, learn ones. And when you look at it, you know, you really understand that, you know, it's not about just signing up, but it's about making a commitment. And we're living in a time, and I've said this before, Steve, that you know how much Christian literature there is out there today? I mean, how many Christian Bible bookstores are available and the amount of books that are being published today? There's more Christian literature and information and helps and messages and downloads. I mean, it used to be you just have to order a cassette tape, you know, and it took 5 weeks to get it, you know, and you were happy because you got some sort of a series or something, and it just took forever. Now you can actually download a message and as many as you'd like, and a lot of the stuff right now is available for free. Just here, take it, here, just take it. And yet you would think that that would produce, with all of that revelation, all of those helps, all of those resources, you would think that there'd be a depthness, and certainly there is. I mean, we've known believers that are totally all out for God. Well, I'm speaking more in general terms, at large, the church at large. And why do I say that? Well, I mean, you know, the numbers are in. You know, we're not making things up. George Barna says that in his statistics that 81% of believers are not even reading the Bible, 19% are reading the Word of God, and of those 19%, only 3% actually feel responsible for their own spiritual development. So it's like, hey, you know, let's catch a clue. Right. We can look at society and see what's even happening, you know, and say, hey, are we doing our part? Where are we in this? And which basically helps us to redirect us and find out what is being shared about Jesus then. Mm. What are we producing? What's being shared? Because the level of commitment is like, where is it? You know, where is it? Mm. And so we've got to start examining and looking at how the commitment to the Lord is being shared, being preached, right?
Right.
You know, and we talked about that. You know, are we, you know, oftentimes, sometimes it's even sincere. People are just saying, hey, just come to God. He's going to fix your life. Your life is going to be perfect. He's going to bless you. He's going to do all these things. All you just sign here. In fact, you know what? Hold the pen and I'll just move the paper. You don't even have, you know, it's like.
When Jesus says, deny yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, exactly. Yeah. You know, but it's just like, come on in and just here. Just here. And it's like a decoration or a badge, if you will, that you just kind of put on your outer jacket only when it's convenient. But there's no talk of, hey, understand that you need to count the cost. Understand what this means. And I often, you know, think about, you know, is there any kind of presentation, you know, that, hey, you give your life to God. Let's see. Because he's God. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You give your life to God because he is God. And a lot of times it's a kind of like, you know, if you give him two of these, he'll give you three of those. If you give him, it's like, we don't make deals with God. We come to him because he is God. And the only reason that we're alive today, the only reason that we are actually, you know, breathing in air is to have a relationship with him. But somehow that's gotten twisted to think that we're just alive, and maybe if we can just get him to touch what we're doing, then we're okay. I'll just add a little bit of Jesus into what's happening. Mm-hmm. And where's the depthness? Where's the commitment? Where's the prayer life?
I think about, you know, we've talked about it before, that, you know, you're saying that if we present someone a Tylenol, but they have no awareness that they have a headache, they're not going to reach for that Tylenol. Even if you present a genuine need of a Tylenol or a healing or whatever it is, and they don't know that they have a headache, they're not going to desire it. They're not going to want it. They're not going to realize they need it. And that's the thing. It's just like what's being presented. We've gotten away from the simple presentation of sin.
Hello.
We have gotten away from that awareness of just like sin is real. Mm-hmm. God judges sin. Like you said, and please correct me. I don't remember how it is. It's like a fireman puts out fires.
Yeah, the same way a firefighter puts out fire, you know, a police officer does what? Arrest people. That's what they do, right?
Yeah.
You know, God deals with sin. You know, you got to deal with sin. Sin has to be dealt with. It's not something that's a strange thing. It's the reality. He's so pure. He's so holy. He's so spotless. Don't take it personal. He just can't be in the presence of sin.
He's holy.
And so, yeah, he is a holy God, and his wrath and judgment can fall upon you if you hold on to your sin, or it can fall on the cross and his son, of which he's already paid the price. He took that upon it for us. Mm-hmm. That's the whole deal. And you're exactly right, Steve. Mm-hmm. The sin is not being preached. The blood of Christ is not being preached. The cross of Christ is not being preached. Repentance is not being preached.
The message never changed.
Hey, it's still the same, isn't it?
It's still the same.
It's still the same. And so what are we doing to attract people to the Lord? Are we dangling shiny objects in front of them? And like we talked about yesterday, a bait and switch gospel. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about more about, hey, how we can help people make commitments, not fill out applications. Jesus, the captain of the host, right? He is looking for commitments and followers. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it. There is so many things happening in the nation. There was a time, if you remember, it just seemed like, is anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. Is the church awake? Of course, what we saw in regards to American citizens, but they were praying. They were actually got the other knees and they began to pray. But I'm also noticing down, not only in Nevada, not only in Texas and other nations, but I've been seeing even in the Gulf Coast where I've been watching, there's been 100 days of prayer going on, 100 days of prayer, praying for revival across denominational, non-denominational lines. And in that, they are just crying out for revival. They're cutting across denominational lines, and it's exciting to see that it appears to be being led by Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church. And what's so cool is that even this week, as it's coming closer to Resurrection Day, and we're going to just, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear from Pastor John Kilpatrick in a moment about this, about the Resurrection Day, is about the Passover. Is that each day a different minister from a city, from one denomination to another denomination to another denomination, and this is how revival happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful to see that. And for those that are listening in the Gulf Coast, I mean, you're looking at, Pastor, I believe, Rogers from an Assemblies of God in Pace, Florida, to Pastor Bernard Yates, a father in his church, a family and a leader. It's just, can't even name them all right now, but it's just all the different mm-hmm. pastors yeah. that are coming together. And if you, want to be a part of that, make sure you get a chance. You can go to, I believe it's Olive Baptist. You can find out more at olivebaptist.org, but it's not just the Baptist. It's everybody coming mm-hmm. together in 100 days of prayer, asking God to send revival.
Wow.
And it is so exciting to see that. And it's such an answer to so many who've prayed. It says, "Dear Lord, help us." And according to the wall of Jeremiah Johnson Saul, when he was walking through this area, it looks, that's a wall that's down when you start seeing, ministers come together and mm-hmm. a fellowship like that, and across denominational lines, all for Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All for Jesus. So I'm hoping to be able to get out there myself this week. I definitely want to be there for Pastor Bernard Yates.
Yes.
To hear what's being said. Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah, listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled, and I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, in the largest part of the church. Believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about commitments versus applications and what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ and what is being presented. And today, you know, there are many false converts, people that said that they've accepted God and say that they are Christians, but, you know, there is not any fruit maybe in their life that points to the fact that they made a decision for Christ. Mm. And we need to be able to find out, hey, what happened here? And oftentimes, it's the way it was presented or the way people actually perceived it. You know, mm-hmm. I'll just say this and I'll get whatever I wanted. And maybe I'll just get a hell, you know, get out of hell free card. And this is not what this is about. This is about allegiance to the Lord and being grateful that he actually paid the price. We were dead in our sins. We had a one-way ticket to hell. We were doomed from the beginning. And Jesus made a way to save us. He made a way to take upon the sin that you know, and judgment that was headed straight to us. He took it upon himself and gave us life again,
mm-hmm.
true life. And out of that, we need to understand that we owe our whole entire life. We're totally indebted to him. And whatever he wants to do is like, Lord, have your way.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get rid of the sugar-coated gospel that has gone out, that is void of allegiance, void of commitment, void of lordship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, spiritual junk food gospel, if you will. You know, tastes good, void of nourishment, you know,
yeah.
and true satisfaction. Just sweet to the lips, and sweet to the ears.
Mm-hmm.
In the last days, the Word of God tells us people are gonna want to just tell me what my itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Not what I need to hear.
Happy news.
Newsflash. Jesus didn't come so that you just can have a happy life. You know, happy life. No. You know, just bless my money, you know, motivate me. I just need a motivation. Do you have a scripture you can send me to motivate me today? Do you have, is there something you can just, you know, I just want a blessing upon the things that I have. Is there something you can throw my way? And when you think about the gospel according to Jesus, when you think about what Jesus said himself, you wonder, wow, I hear what's being shared in, you know, in some places. I wonder, wow, what? Well, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says in John 6, he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my body is real drink. And the thing is, like, are we feeding upon Jesus or are we feeding upon other things? Are people feeding upon just whatever? It's like, listen, you need to make Jesus your life. He's saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. This is about me 100%. Mm-hmm. Catch a clue.
Right.
I don't know what they told you. But let me tell you right here, this is what this is about. He says, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. This is about fellowship. This is about intimacy. This is about abiding.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. And so are we... You know, share, you got to feed on him.
Mm-hmm.
You got to abide with God. You have an abiding relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be at his table because he is the bread of life, right? And he'll say, this is the bread that came down from heaven, your forefathers. It goes on and on. But then he goes down in verse 60, he says,
mm-hmm.
in verse 60, he says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And today, you know, are there hard teachings? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are. There are. Don't get me wrong. There are. I'm just talking about en masse.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, that's so hard. I don't know if we need to share that. It's like, listen, you know, we need to hear messages that cause us to blush a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
I used to hear a preacher say, go ahead and bring in your toes a little bit. I'm about to stomp on it. Go ahead, bring in them toes a little bit. We need to blush a little bit and understand that, hey, God's a holy God. This is his truth. And we just need to line up to whatever the truth, the word of God is in our life and not just don't preach to me anything that's going to offend me.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be worried about offending people if we're going to offending Jesus. You got to choose. And we're not talking about offending for the sake of offending, but the truth offends those that don't want to align themselves with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we dropped down a few verses. He says, yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and would betray him. He went on to say that this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. And this is what we're talking about, preaching the gospel. If we're, listen, it's the Holy Spirit that draws men to Jesus. When Jesus is lifted high, mm-hmm. all men will be drawn to him. And it's the Father and the Spirit of God that enables people to turn their hearts to him. But if we're hanging, you know, shiny objects and just saying, just say a prayer, did God draw? What happened there? What happened there? Are we working ahead of God? Are we just saying, just sign here?
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand the full commitment. And so when the disciples started to hear this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus didn't change his message. He just changed his audience. He's like, okay, right. He didn't chase after them. Hey, guys, I'm sorry. That came out a little harsh. Okay, you really don't have to follow me. It's a suggestion, you know. You can observe me from afar, see what you like and what you don't like. You don't worry about it. Just, you know, just skip that part. But what you do like, that you, he didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
They turned back, Stephen, no longer followed him. You know what Jesus' response? He says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. You don't want to leave too, do you? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you better hurry up. They'll wait up for you. You don't want to leave too. It didn't caution him to think, well, maybe I shouldn't preach on the cross and the blood. Maybe I shouldn't. No. It was more resolved and more resolute. Like, hey, hey, that bus is leaving. You want to catch them. Mm-hmm. You better get ahead and go. I want to know who's going to stand. And then Peter replies and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know.
Mm.
We believe and know that you are the Son, you know, the Holy One of God. And so Peter clearly did not fill out an application, but clearly Peter made a commitment. Mm. And that's what we need in the body of Christ today. We need commitments. Men and women, sons and daughters, those are going to say, I want to give my life to Jesus, no matter the cost, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then Jesus goes on further to say, Pat, he says that if anyone is going to come after me, you must deny right. yourself, take up your cross daily, mm-hmm. and follow me. I mean, there was no gray area there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, was that plain? Mm-hmm. That was, you know, English, I guess, in my mm-hmm. Bible. You know, that was plain.
Got to make that choice every single day.
And he told them
up
front, hey, this is count the cost. This is what it's going to mean.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we need to be able to share with other people. That, listen, you've got to count the cost. You got to know that serving Jesus requires your whole entire life. It means you abandon, you know, any life of sin that you had before, any associations, any friends, anyone mm-hmm. that would hinder you and come against your relationship with Jesus is an enemy of the cross. And he demands total allegiance.
Yeah. And you, just looking at that encounter, it wasn't about the crowds, because the crowds were walking away from Jesus. And it just makes me think of the wide and the narrow roads. But at the same time, too, it's just like, if the only person that's standing next to you is Jesus, will you still stand for Jesus?
That's right. Mm. And listen, now more than ever, we need to be able to just share a gospel, you know, at large with the entire world that is plainly. Listen, Jesus loves you. He wants to spend eternity with you. He died for your sins. He wants to rescue you and ransom you that you can be united with him forever. But make no mistake about it, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything to serve him with your entire heart. But I promise you, it's worth it. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the risen Christ. He is holy. And he desires to have a relationship with you forever. But you got to know the commitment. You got to count the cost. He's worth it all. Come to him. Make him the Lord and Savior of your life and follow him all the days of your life. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian television network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me today in the studio is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And Steve Kalischewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. My goodness, we want to remind you and encourage you that we're four programs back to back, and all the many different ways that you can connect to the program. Of course, you can check your local listings if you're in the Gulf Coast area to see. Of course, we're at 5:30 every day, Monday through Friday. As well, you can always go to VFNTV.com, where we have many different ways for you to connect and also share with your friends. But there's so many things that are happening. Of course, we also want to give a special shout out to all of our sponsors, all of those that come together to help make this program possible. We want to encourage you to visit them. You know, I think about Amazing Automotive down in Mary Esther and Fall Walton Beach. They've been there the longest in that area, over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And their motto is, Pat, if it flies, floats, or rolls, they can fix it now. They can fix it. But they have a big shop down there, and they do a lot of good work. So if you're in the area, go down there and visit them. But, you know, in today's program, we're going to be talking about some interesting technology that Israel is developing in their Navy, which we're going to share. I mean, precise missile, the whole, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, hey, Don't mess with Israel. Don't make the mistake. And I've always continued to pray for them. But we're going to share about that. But we're also going to talk about the secrets to having a blessed life. And oftentimes, I know, Pat, we've discussed this before, that, you know, a lot of people want to be blessed in their life, or they want good things to happen to them, you know, and many people go, you know, they do a lot of different things to achieve that, you know, and oftentimes, especially in our country, you know, education is pushed big time. You know, it's like, hey, if you go out there and get a college and get a degree, then you're going to get a good job. And you know, they map all this stuff out. They don't tell you about student loans now. They don't they don't tell you that there may not be a job for you when you graduate and you're in debt. But that's another story. But it's all this type of things that you can do on your own to have a blessed life or to have a happy life. And there is a way to have a blessed life. I mean, there is a way to be blessed. And oftentimes when man gets in the way of it, we have our own idea. And oftentimes that, it doesn't end well. And you know, there's a psalm in the Bible where David says, I looked at the prosperity of basically the wicked and said, hey, how is this fair? How is this fair? What's going on here? And then towards the end, he says, ah, I see. Not all that glitters is gold. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, ill-gotten gain. This is going to come back to haunt them. You know, ooh, this was not good. And so you may be looking and seeing, you know, the wicked, if you will, being blessed and prosperous and say, eh, how does that happen? And what, you know, what's going on? And let me tell you something. I don't want any blessing. I'm like Abraham. I don't want any blessing that doesn't come from the hand of God, you know?
That's right.
And because what God gives you, and this is in Proverbs, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no sorrow. He adds no trouble to it. I mean, can you say amen to that? Amen. You know what I'm saying? He adds no trouble. There's a lot of people that are acquiring wealth and prosperity, but with that wealth and prosperity is also accompanies some serious trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it makes me think about, you know, before I came to know the Lord, that was exactly my pursuit, because it makes you that search for success in the world's eyes, there's always something more, no matter how much you have. And, you know, I had personally, I had a 5-page list of goals.
Wow.
Of net wealth and material possessions and houses and cars and owning an island and owning a boat, because it's just like I wanted to be successful.
Come to the island of Steve.
But you think about it, that was success in the eyes of the world.
Sure.
That wasn't success in God's eyes.
Right. You know, and I saw a quote that says actually slipping me. I'm sure I'll get it. I don't want to butcher it. I'll find it for you before we get to the end of this program. But, you know, that's exactly what everyone is catered to believe that we're supposed to do, is like acquire all this stuff, acquire all these things. And then, you know, these things and stuff will make you happy. And hey, the whole purpose of life is just to be happy, happy, happy. And that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. And you know what? Things can't make you happy. I think we've seen enough people in the news and in the media to show us and give us an example that, hey, aren't you a multi-billionaire? And like, why are you shaving your head off and going nuts right now? Like, did you really just say that and do that? Is that going on? Here's a quote for you. God has not called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful. You know who said that? Mother Teresa. You know, God's not called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful. And success in God is doing what God told you to do. That's it. That's success in God. Do what God told you to do. You're successful. You're successful. And so if you fall into the trap of what others have defined success and you're trying to attain that, then you're on a slippery slope. You're on a treadmill and you're trying to get this thing, this validation in someone else's eyes, instead of seeking the validation in God's eyes.
Right.
And so, you know, the truth is that, you know, who wants a life of hardship and just, you know, misery? Nobody does. Nobody does. Everyone wants to have a blessed life. The question is, how do you go about it? What do you want? What opens the door to a blessed and a happy and a prosperous life? And so, you know, the word tells us that the blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. And the first thing we do is we got to start defining, redefining what wealth is. In America, we think wealth is like millions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? Hello, wealth is having food to eat. Wealth is having a home. Wealth is having good health. Mm-hmm. Wealth is having a beautiful family. You know, wealth is being alive and knowing Jesus. I mean, right. you're wealthy. What are they? We share these statistics often, but if you live in America, you live what? In top 75% of the entire world, 95% of the world?
Right.
I mean, we're a blessed land. The poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European. We're not talking about anybody, you know, third world nation. More square footage than the average European, who are our neighbors. Wow. They're like, we're on, you know, think about that.
Wow.
Which is huge. And yet, you know, I often say the guy that's always praying, oh, can I have more, 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 is like when you hit a trouble spot, they're not satisfied with the car that they have. You know, it's like, well, I need two cars, I need three cars, and then the car that I have is not really super, super nice, and so, you know, it's a piece of, you know, whatever, junk, until you lose that car. And it's like, was I praying for a Lexus? Can you erase that? Can you scratch that off your page?
I just want an engine.
Yes.
Even if I don't have AC,
Can you put them tires back on? You know, whatever it may be, but it's like, go through something and you realize that, hey, this doesn't matter, you know. And you look at the folks that just gone through the horrific floods and tornadoes. Hey, they're not worried about that China set and that, you know, 60-inch television they bought, you know, or whatever. There's what matters is that their family made it out safe, that they're alive, and all this stuff is just stuff. And I hear people say that also, it's just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to ask yourself, are you chasing that stuff? Yeah. I know it's just stuff. But, have you chased that stuff? And we have to have perspective and bring things in alignment. And we understand that, hey, where do we want the blessing to come from? Do we want it to come from our own hands and our own doing or any kind of ill-gotten gain, however way we can get it? Or do we really, truly want to have the blessing of the Lord in our life? I mean, that's what people say. I want God's hand upon this. I want God's hand upon it. Well, there's a way to get God's hand upon it. That's the blessing of the Lord. There's a way to get it on it. You know, because Jeremiah said, because the gracious hand of the Lord was upon me, the king granted my requests. So when you live a blessed life, the gracious hand of the Lord is upon you. He's going to bless you. When we come back from this break, we're going to unpack this some more. We're going to talk about what are the secrets to living a blessed life. Everybody wants to live blessed, but there is a way. There is a key that unlocks the door to the blessings of the Lord upon your life. You don't want to miss it. Join us back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I need you guys to pray for me. I want you to know that I have started an exercise program.
You?
Yes, I have.
Like an organized program.
Well, you
like
know, I want to be in shape. I want to be ready for what the Lord has in store. And I want to get all just in shape, you know, toned up.
A-shape.
Well, I'm A-shape now.
Another shape.
Either way.
So this what I'm doing. Right. What I'm doing is I actually went around the block several times today.
Really?
Several times. I just got out there and I just went around the block real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised at this.
Wait, question it. Were you walking or were you driving?
Well, you know, I wasn't driving.
Okay.
I was rapid movement. Okay. And I was going around real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised that I didn't even break a sweat, not even once. Now, three times around the block.
Wow.
And I was moving. You heard the speed of light. I mean, I not that fast, but I was moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I didn't even break a sweat.
Interesting. How do you do that?
Well, very, very simple. I just took a wood block, put it on the floor in the living room, and ran around it three times real fast. And I ran around the block. And, you know, that's the new fitness program Give me a break. Okay? Give me a break.
Really? Really?
Well, listen, listen.
That's right, the best you could come up with?
Well, look, right now, you need to pray for me because right now, right now.
Lord, give him a bigger block. I just asked for a bigger block.
You know, I'm staying with my in-laws right now. You know, our home is being prepared for us, and we're having a great time spending time with them, and it's been really great.
Right.
But, you know, I just fall under this conviction. They are, like, healthy people. They're fit people. I mean, I look at my father-in-law, and I just get convicted. He's 68 years old, and he just did. I don't know if you heard about this. It's called a Spartan race. They have, like, these obstacle races.
Really?
I guess they have them all over the country. They have them. Mm-hmm. I think there's one called Tough Mud or Mudder or something like that. I don't know. You know, as you know, I don't know about these things.
This is obvious.
I don't know about these things, but this is like a 3 mile. I mean,
who did this?
This is my 68-year-old father-in-law.
Really?
Uh-huh. I mean, listen, I've got pictures, dude. I've got pictures. I mean, look. He is in the ground, in the dirt.
Where do they do this?
Oh,
at?
Wow.
They have them all over the world. We're going to have a website up for you at The Torch, but they have them in Vancouver and Quebec and Toronto and just all over the world and all over the country. And they have thousands of people in this open field.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, doing these high ropes and low ropes and getting under in the dirt, man.
Oh,
my goodness.
I can't believe that.
It's intense. He finished.
How long is it?
Finished.
Isn't it like 10 miles or something?
I think it's 3 miles. I think it's
3 miles? Okay.
It's not like no
Still,
regular.
I mean, just,
it's
wow.
a major, major obstacle course. And I'm like, stop bragging. Stop it. Stop. And then, you know, if that doesn't help you, then my brother-in-law, you know, and his wife, they're like Mr. and Mrs. Fitness.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
There is not enough.
You're feeling really good.
No, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good.
After he told you about the Spartan race, did you tell him that you ran around your block?
Well, actually, I got the block idea. It was in his house. So I said, I like this. This is a workout that I could do. But, you know, my they come around, and I'm like, I feel guilty if I eat something. I'm like, guys, there's not an inch of fat on there. I'm like super, super, super shaped. They are in incredible shape. They gathered Pensacola Fit Club.
Wow.
And they have a website, PensacolaFitClub.com, and you can check those guys out, man. But they are intense in their workout. And let me tell you something. They got some results. They haven't quite gotten me there yet. Not yet. Maybe one day I'll visit. I'm afraid to maybe venture into that intensity. But those guys are doing phenomenal.
You know, I think about, like just like what you're saying as far as running a race. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of race that Paul writes about in running a race towards Christ.
Mm.
And because there's obstacles that are going to come against us, and there's obstacles that are going to come to refine us, but it's just like run our race like we're running for a prize. Just like anyone else would prepare for any race, we're called to run a race for Christ.
Yes. I like that race now. That race I'm running good. Right?
Yes.
By God's grace.
There you go.
But I have to do the other race too.
Right. So... So you said those city blocks?
No. Wood blocks. Wood blocks.
Wood blocks.
Well,
okay.
North, they got bigger blocks.
Yes, but I wasn't running up north. I was, you know, another wood block. But one day, I mean, then he does this thing where, you know, I don't know what you call it, but he jumps up in the middle, I mean, jumps up as high as he can and extends his hands and his legs. I don't know what you call that exercise. Looks like you're
star
flying.
Jumpers.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that right?
Star jumpers.
Wow.
Dude, he's just showing off.
Didn't you used to do that kind of stuff, Steve?
Used to. Yeah. What is...
Like, a couple months ago?
Isn't there a subject?
Well, let me tell you something. They're getting fit, and I'm soon.
We're praying
soon.
For you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank
Lord,
you. Thank
give
you.
Them a bigger block.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, they have lettuce and all this good stuff, and I'll eat a hamburger next to them. So you want something? They'll go, no, we don't eat that. Oh, I love these guys. I love them.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And no, I have not started that FIT program yet, But when we get started and
we're still
really,
praying for you.
Well, you know, when we start seeing some, you know what I mean. We'll let you know. But I've been running around the block. Chris was laughing before. And,
I hope it's a bigger one.
Well, you know, I did get a bigger block, but you know, as the blocks get bigger, I'll run around, you know, more. But we will give you an update. We will give you an update on that as that training progresses. But before the break, we were talking about the secrets to living a blessed life and how, hey, there's nothing wrong with living a blessed and prosperous life and understanding that, hey, you know, we are already wealthy because we live in the United States, and to have a proper understanding of wealth. But, you know, and at the same token, there's nothing wrong with wanting that, you know. And but the question is, how do we go about having a blessed life, Pat? How do we go about, you know, unlocking that door, if you will, unlocking the key with the secret to getting it? And you know what? Yet again, God's word has an answer for everything.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. And you know what the secret is? Here's the secret. Obedience to Jesus. Obedience to Jesus.
You had to go there, didn't you?
That's it. I had you, man. You were wondering. I know you were wondering what it was. That's the key. Listen, when we obey God, just things go right in our lives. When we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we acknowledge His word, His will, and His ways, and we conform to Him, then things just happen to go well in our life. And Deuteronomy 28 really unfolds this for us, because it gives us a list of the blessings for obedience and also as well as the curses for disobedience. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes people don't realize, it's like, did you ever correlate the stuff that's going on with your life right now as a curse?
Right.
And the curse is because you're disobeying God. Did those connections ever make it? And the quicker that people can make those connections, the quicker they can actually repent and turn to God and have their situation change. But if there's no connection, they'll continue down the same path. Mm-hmm. But this is what Deuteronomy 28 says, and it starts out with this, the word if. Hey, this is contingent, you know. If you fully obey the Lord, and there's no partial obedience of God, if you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will what? Set you high above all the nations on the earth. And these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So right from the giddy-up in the onset, it says, listen, if we obey Him, these are the things that are going to happen. Not only the blessings are going to come upon you, hey, they are going to accompany you. And oftentimes people think, hey, the blessing's in a job, or it's in a location, or it's in a city. Oh, they say, oh, you know, that city's not prosperous. You know, oh, the economy is bad there. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, the blessing is upon you and your life. You can go to the Sahara Desert and find the way to sell sand. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can go anywhere, because it doesn't matter of the location. It matters that the hand of the Lord is upon you. And God will cause you to be prosperous and flourish, and He'll bring you water to that desert. Right. He'll open it right up for you. So He goes on, the word goes on to say, you will be blessed in the city, and you'll be blessed in the country. Well, there's nobody out here, and there's no industry here. And hey, listen, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you're in the city, in the country, it's irrelevant. God's going to bless you.
That's right.
If you obey Him. Verse 4 says, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your provision is going to be blessed. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed, right? You will be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out, because the blessing's on you.
That's right.
The blessings on you and your obedience. Rest assured, listen, you can be confident that the Lord loves you. He wants to open doors for you of opportunity. And so you don't have to wonder. Listen, you're marked by God. And so when you go to work and you go into that place of business, hey, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. And like Nehemiah said, because of the gracious hand of the Lord was upon me, the king granted my request. Don't be surprised when doors get open on you, you know, for you. It says the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. We're talking about the blessing of the Lord upon your life. The Lord will send the blessing. He will send the blessing. Everybody wants the blessing. Well, listen, the very first part of this is if you fully obey the Lord and carefully follow his commands I give you today, right? The Lord will send the blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to do. Think about that. God is so good, man. He's so good. Everything you put your hands to do, he will bless. Then the Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. And God opens up doors for you. He brings you into a space. If you start taking credit for everything that God brings to your life, then where was God in all that? When we start recognizing and understand that this job, you know, this promotion, this opportunity, this favor is all from the hand of the Lord. It says the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands the Lord your God has given you and walk in his ways, then all the people on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The blessing of God and the favor of God points others to say, who are you serving? How did you get that favor? How did you get that promotion? This just doesn't happen. How did you get that home for half off? How did you get those vehicles? What happened?
Right.
It's just the blessing of the Lord. We serve God and he just takes care of us, right?
That's right.
Then the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. Now check this out in verse 12. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. Listen, God is going to open the heavens. There's an open heaven above your life when you give your life to the Lord, when you live according to his ways, when you abide in him and he abides in you, you're walking under an open heaven. That means, hey, blessings come down and you walk in divine favor. Every day's an adventure when you're walking in an obedience to the Lord, because he's looking for ways to bless you and to bring you into a spacious land. You're his son. You're his daughter. And when you understand that everything you do glorifies him, and you're faithful in it, then God says, I want to give them more space. They're going to glorify me some more. Right. I'm going to give them more promotion. They're going to glorify me some more. They're going to do greater things for me. I'm going to give them more. Let me tell you something. There is a secret. There's a secret to living a blessed life. And the key to unlocking all the blessings of the Lord, the key to opening the favor of the Lord in your life, is to simply first give Jesus your whole entire life. Give your life to him. But when you do that, you live a life of obedience. You position yourself. You position yourself to read his word and to follow what his word says. And when you make him the Lord, the boss of your life, and you follow him in all these ways, God will surely bless you. He'll lift you up, and you'll have great opportunity to glorify him and make his name famous. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com, on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.